All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, March 15th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a ton of DFS action coming at you over the weekend. We have NBA, we have NHL, we have golf's round 3 and 4, we have Formula One this weekend, we have NASCAR, along with a ton of other slates and sports. If you guys aren't signed up with us, we do have a 5-day no strings attached free trial. You can check us out. The link to try that out is in the description of this video. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you also get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. But appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on where you live. It is Saturday morning over here on the West Coast. Let's get SaberSim up. And we didn't have any questions to get us started, but that's totally fine. We can start with the build demo. Might be a good opportunity to talk some Formula One. You know, we talk NBA like all week long. So why don't we go pull up some Formula One projections here. We should have ownership for Formula One. Give me 1 second. Let me make sure everything is good there. In case you guys are 9 p.m. Oh my gosh. I almost tripped out because I thought this said 9 a.m. So I was like, wait, hold on. What's going on here? But ownership should be coming. I mean, we still have like 12 hours to race time. Let me see if I can help that out at all. It's 9 p.m. here, but I guess it's midnight somewhere else. So, okay, we're going to wait on Formula One. We will go and do something else. Golf round 3 is underway. Maybe we'll talk is MMA today. Let's check it out. MMA. Yep. 13 fight MMA card. Cool. So why do we do an MMA demo today? So going to go over to this 13 fight slate that we have here coming up. Notice as part of the change, right? Contest sim is auto created, just standard contest sim, large field, 150 max contest. So then I'm going to go over to my build, right? I would always build the max number of lineups your plan allows. And then I like to drop minimum salary a little bit, just open up the band a little bit, give SaberSim some more room to do what it does best and not put these salary restrictions on. There's one rule on by default, which is going to be don't use opposing fighters, which I'm cool with. Not going to apply any filters. Notice build lineups is yellow, telling me I need to make 2 small adjustments. So I'll do that. Build lineups lights up green. And then I'm going to kick this off, right? Not doing a ton up front. If you are somebody who likes to do things up front, you know, you can add value, adjust projections, maybe even set minimax exposures before the build. If that's your cup of tea, that's totally cool. For me, it's going to be a little bit more hands off here. Let SaberSim do its thing. And then I'm going to kick off the contest sim here. So let's let this run. Question from Mark. Can you explain why my number one ranked lineup in NBA shows a negative 41.7% ROI? It's a 20 max. Honestly, I can't explain that, you know, here on the show. It's hard to know without looking at it specifically. But what I would do is go to the top right, go to report a problem. Just say the same thing here. When you submit this, it sends it to our team and then allows us to look at it closer and then get you like a real answer, right? So here on the show, my troubleshooting capabilities are limited. And but if you do that, our team will look into it and we will get back to you. All right, cool. So we ran this contest sim. Going to switch to this contest specific ROI. You only have to do that if you don't have an entry file uploaded. And I got my average projection. Mark said, thanks. You're welcome. And then I will go to set up average ROI aggregate metric as well. And I'm about ready to rock and roll here, right? So we'll say we're building 20 lineups. Now, what am I looking for, right? So for me, big things, exposure, leverage, what stands am I taking, right? Always got to know, in case leverage isn't common for everybody, it's just exposure minus ownership, right? So I have 75% exposure to Kevin Vallejos, and he's 43% owned. So my exposure is more than his ownership, so I have positive leverage, right? These are the plays I am rooting for. These are the plays I want to do good, right? And then inversely, I could sort negative leverage and see the plays that I am underweight on, the plays I want to do bad, right? Because when Yesaias Musasa does bad and he's in 33% of the field's lineups, that's one third, but he's only in 15% of mine, right? So less of my lineups get hurt when he has a bad performance. So either way, I'm mostly looking at this, right? Leverages, exposures, aggregate metrics. I was having an interesting conversation with somebody. So they were like, hey, you know, if I make changes, is that bad? Because anytime I make changes, my aggregate metrics go down, my ROI goes down. It's true. Anything you do after the initial lineups you get is you are trading ROI from the contest sim for whatever request you're making, whether that be minimum exposure, whether that be maximum exposure, whether that be diversification. Now, we think it is a good idea to be willing to trade some of this contest sim ROI for some of those things, for risk management, for, you know, comfort with your exposures, for diversification to smooth out the swings in this high variance game that we play of DFS, right? So it is okay to trade some of those things. Somebody's asking how much, you know, that's going to kind of depend. For me, you know, I'm usually okay, like, when my ROI goes down 10 to 20%, right? So like I come in here, say I apply some uniques, you know, I go from 1 to 3 uniques. My ROI just went from 167 down to 138. Like that's fine for me. I'm not super concerned about that. Now, if I go from like 167 down to like 67, and I lose like 100% ROI, well, I might be a little bit more concerned about that and I might want to go backwards, right? So there's really not a right answer. I could tell you guys what I do, but you got to figure out what works for you, right? So those are the big things here. One unique is honestly fine with me. You know, I don't mind taking a couple stands on some of these fighters. They're also high owned. They also have, you know, really high values and they seem like good plays. So I would be fine with this. But you could apply uniques. You could apply minimax exposures. You could apply filters, right? There's a number of things you could do. You could apply ROI filter, right? Show lineups with ROI greater than 0. This makes a little bit more sense when you have lots of contests and lots of, you know, contest sims and things like that, because a lineup might be positive ROI in one contest but negative ROI in a different contest, right? Here we're just using direct fill, and you know, all of our top lineups are going to be positive ROI, so not too much of a concern, but something that is useful when you're using autofill. So that's our slate demo for the day, but seeing some questions roll in here. Addison asks, can you talk about how SaberSim populates live ownership field updates? For example, the flagship, you're just inputting live ownership and telling the builder to rerun correct, or are you using the exact lineups pulled from the flagship and filling in the gaps? Okay, good question. So think about it as like ownership is like a puzzle, and as the games lock, puzzle pieces become visible. So what we do is, you know, let's say like slate locks, boom, you know, we see ownership for the first game. Well, we had projected ownership, right? So then now what we do is we give our ownership engine, or the you know, process that creates our ownership, we give it those actual inputs. We say, okay, hey, these are the exact ownerships for these players. You know, rebuild the rest of the ownership for the rest of the slate based on other sim updates and things that are coming up, right? So that's the way that makes the most sense to me. So we're taking the live ownership and like, okay, you know, these players have, you know, these positions, they're this much salary, right? And then we're kind of solving ownership for the rest of the slate. So ownership is going to get more and more accurate as more and more of the games lock, but we are taking it from a representative contest, okay? Just so we're clear, like when you go to NBA and then you go to the My Own column and then you go to this gear icon, right? We have all these buckets. You know, the flagship MME captures the $15 150 max, but then it also captures the $5 150 max as well, right? So we're using live ownership from one contest, but each bucket here has multiple contests within it. So like if you're playing the $5 150 max, you might see that the ownerships are slightly different in even in the live. It's because they're coming from that bigger contest. Okay. So I just don't want anybody to get thrown off when they see that. All right, next question. So what's the big difference between 1 to 3 uniques, just lower owned players? No, it's more about diversification. So what happens, right, with the uniques is the uniques are guaranteeing that X amount of players are different from every other lineup. So when I set this to 3, right, notice I'm no longer playing the top 20 lineups. My lowest ranked lineup is 115. So what's happening here is SaberSim is like effectively filtering your pool of lineups and saying, go through here and find 20 lineups where 3 out of the 6 players are different from every other lineup. And it has to skip a lot of lineups in order to do that. It prioritizes your high ranked ones. It changes the bottom ones first. But like here, right, we're skipping lineups 5 and 6 because there's probably too many similar players between some other lineup here. So it tries to prioritize your highest ranked lineups and change the bottom ones until it has to get closer to the top, right? So like the 5th one is the last one that it had to skip in order to meet the request. So what it does here, it does a couple things. One, it can add players to your player pool, right? Like if we go 23 fighters to 24, there's only 26 in the player pool. It spreads out your exposures. You can see our leverages change, right? Like at 1, our highest leverage is 31, then 28. And then at 3, our highest leverage is 25 and then 13. So the leverages get a lot more spread out here. So it's not getting to lower owned players per se, but it is getting to more players. And then the combinations of your lineups are wider. So like you can actually see this like in your standings, like on the app, you know, when your uniques are like at 1 and your lineups are really, really correlated, right? Your lineups are usually very clustered. Like they're either all on the left, all in the middle, or all on the right, right? And what that does, it leads to like high negative ROI days, but then also like high positive, but it depends, right? So with the diversification aspect, your lineups are like actually going to be like more spread out across your standings, right? So it's a good thing. You know, at the end of the day, only one lineup wins first, right? So if a player gets hurt and, you know, you're super correlated, like that could really just like ruin your entire day. But if you're diversified, you know, some lineups might be in the trash, but then you still have other lineups that are viable. So you got to figure out what works for you. All right. Follow up from Addison. There was a discussion on this in Discord recently, and I want to find it because it goes directly with this question. So let me see if I can find it. So I'll just read the question. The live ownership isn't looking at exact lineups though, correct? That would be pretty damn hard, I think. So you're not looking at a lineup that has X dollars remaining and assumes a certain player. So I'm almost positive it is doing that. But I want to find this discussion because I know it was talked about recently. Okay. I'm not seeing it, but so this is my understanding. I can confirm this too. What we're doing, right, is we are pulling in the actual lineups. And you can actually like see this when a slate is live. So like if the NBA slate is live, for example, right? Like you could try this later today. And the first game locks. You can, once we process the contests, you can go into the contest tab and you can click on any contest. We're going to pull up our live leaderboard and we're going to show like what lineups are in first, what lineups are in second. And the way it works, like in the live leaderboard from what I remember seeing, is we show you the unlocked players and then there's like X's for like all of the lineup slots that aren't visible yet. So we are taking in actual lineups and using that to rebuild the rest of the slate. So we can see the lineups. We can understand, hey, you know, this player is in this position. This player is in that position. These players are this. So what my understanding is, right, is like, say we have a lineup with like four positions locked and X salary. You're like, okay, this lineup has this much salary left, these much positions. These are the rest of the players that are left on the slate. We basically build out different versions of the lineup. Like, hey, we think this version is like most likely. We think like this version is like second most likely, right? These are like all the different ways that the ownership can come in. And then that ends up leading to how our live sims work, right? Like we're not, when you're running a late swap and we're using the live sims, we are sampling from a pool of live lineups that we think are what we think the lineups are going to look like, right? But it's not the same exact ones every time, because if it's the same ones every time and then we're wrong, like that could lead to poor actual performance, like if that happens. So we're building out like versions of what we think the rest of the lineups are going to look like, kind of like what your late swap looks like, right? Like you see, like you have like your original lineup and then you have like all these different ones under it. It's like, okay, this is like your late swap one, this is like your late swap two, this is your late swap three, right? And then we're building out like, okay, well, you know, based on this, we think that these are like the best versions of the lineup. And then they're weighted, right? So like, okay, this one's like definitely the best. This one's going to go into the contest sim, you know, like 60% of the time. And then this one's like second best. It's going to go in like 30% of the time. It's almost like, what do we think the probability of the lineup being played is? So they're weighted like that as well. And that is like my understanding. I can confirm that though, but Addison said, oh, wow, it's good to know. Very helpful. Thought you were taking a more simplistic approach. You guys rock. Appreciate it. Yeah. So our team works super hard. Shout out, you know, our data scientists and Matt for all their hard work. Matt's awesome. So, but we could always circle back on that. I'm like almost positive I read a discussion in Discord recently. I really wish I could find it right now, but it was basically saying the same thing. All right. Question from Bill's Nut. I know it's an approximation, but when determining min uniques, what is their approximate percentage difference in average ROI you would feel comfortable with as a cutoff? Good question. I talked about this a little bit ago in case you missed it, but happy to mention it again. I said like 10 to 20%, you know, I was using this MMA example, right? So like, for instance here, I had my let's change this real quick and then let's change it back. So I was saying, right, at one unique, I had like a 167 ROI. And then at three, I had like a 138. That's fine with me. You know, I'm like usually fine dropping like 10 to 20% ROI to get my diversification or different things that I want. Now, if this number went all the way down to like 50%, 60%, that'd probably be too much for me, right? And that's like over 50% of my starting number, right? So for me, 10 to 20% drop is like usually fine. I don't mind that. But when we start dropping, you know, 50%, things like that, then I start to get concerned. So those are my general guidelines that I use personally. All right. But we are caught up with questions in the YouTube chat, caught up with questions in the Discord, knocked out an MMA slate demo. So I think we are all set. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.